Anthropic is reportedly pitching bankers on a $190 billion to $200 billion revenue target for 2027. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan. This show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is August 16th, 2026. That projection is the headline because it changes how the market might price the whole AI sector. A survey of 7,700 workers circulating on the technology boards found fully remote employees reported the highest overall well-being across stress, job satisfaction, and life balance. The caveat? These are self-reported scores, and other recent academic work has flagged greater isolation and more mental health visits for some remote employees. So watch for policy moves that emphasize choice, not mandates. In Australia, MasterCard briefly declined card and mobile wallet transactions after what the company called a scheduled system update. Down Detector recorded more than 1,700 problem reports at the peak. Shoppers and small retailers felt it in real time. One person told reporters they left a full grocery cart, which is a practical reminder that the economy still runs on a handful of payment rails and outages propagate quickly. Berkshire Hathaway has been aggressively adding to one tech bet. The firm more than tripled its stake in Alphabet this year and participated in a roughly $10 billion private placement to increase exposure. Warren Buffett himself said he initiated the move, which markets read as a vote of confidence in that company's ads, cloud backlog, and AI spending, and a signal that value managers may be more willing to back capital-intensive tech wins.
This is an update to a story we've tracked. According to Reuters, the AI lab behind the Claude family of chatbots has pitched investors on a 2028 revenue range of roughly $190 billion to $200 billion. Put that next to the numbers the company publicly flagged earlier, a previously discussed run rate roughly in the tens of billions, and you see why bankers are building a very aggressive growth case into any IPO math. Bloomberg separately leaked quarterly figures that show a step change in reported revenue. Documents cited in that coverage put Q2 near $11.5 billion up sharply year-on-year, and importantly showing adjusted operating income that was positive on paper for the quarter. Those two reported updates, the forward projection and the quarterly leak, are connected but not identical signals. The projection is forward-looking sales expectations being sold to buyers. The leaked quarter is an operational snapshot that, if confirmed in public filings, backs the growth claim. Both items, however, come with accounting and structural caveats worth unpacking before anyone treats the valuation as settled. First, revenue recognition. Multiple analysts and reporting threads flagged that the company has used gross basis accounting for cloud reseller arrangements in some disclosures. In plain terms, that method can count the full cloud spend of large customers as the lab's top-line revenue, even though much of that cash flows to third-party providers. That inflates headline sales compared with a net basis view that would subtract pass-through costs. For investors, that matters because gross revenue makes for eye-popping multiples, but it also makes margins and free cash flow the real tests when the company lists.
Second, the cost side is massive and volatile. Training and running large models eats expensive GPUs, memory, and electricity, and the industry is only slowly bending those unit economics downward. The lab has announced large planned data center and compute investments. If those outlays accelerate while pricing per API call softens, adjusted profits could swing back into negative territory even after a strong quarter. So you can have both huge headline revenue and fragile cash flow depending on contract mix and how the company books cloud arrangements. Third, the valuation implications are enormous. Bankers reportedly value the company on forward revenue multiples used for high-growth enterprise software. Apply those to a $190, $200 billion run rate, and you quickly reach 9- and 10-figure valuations that could push a public price tag into the trillions on paper. One investor quoted in coverage said a multi-trillion valuation is possible in the short run, but cautioned that sustaining it is another question. That's the core risk of IPO theater. Public markets ultimately price permanence and predictability, not just growth narratives. Fourth, competitive and customer dynamics are underappreciated in the headlines. The lab's commercial growth depends on a few things. Enterprise contracts that lock in multi-year spend, efficiency gains in model training that lower the marginal cost of serving customers, and stable access to cloud compute or owned data center capacity. Any disruption across those three, a major customer cutting spend, slower than expected efficiency gains, or a cloud pricing shock, would materially change forward profitability. And the big cloud vendors are both suppliers and competitors. They host models, sell compute, and in some cases offer their own large models as products.
Fifth, governance and disclosure will be front and center. If the company leans on forward projections to justify a steep IPO price, regulators and market participants will demand clarity on revenue recognition, related party reseller deals, and the unit economics per customer. Expect intense S1 scrutiny of contract language, definitions of run rate, and reconciliation between gross and net revenue metrics. That's standard from a risk management perspective, and it's why the first public filing will be pivotal. Sixth, the market signaling effect could be broader than one IPO. If investors accept these forward figures and hand a massive valuation to a single AI lab, it resets expectations for rivals and for the cloud vendors that host them. That could accelerate further private investment and M&A, but it also raises systemic questions. Are investors discounting rapid price erosion for inference services? Are they assuming hardware cost declines that may not materialize fast enough? These are empirical questions, not philosophical ones, and they'll show up in the trading volatility that follows the S1 and roadshow. Seventh, the social media reaction is a live part of the story. On the Wall Street Bets community, responses split between euphoric speculation, diamond hands memes, and dreams of a flagship retail winner, and skepticism around accounting footnotes. That split matters because retail demand can buoy IPOs short term, but long term valuations rest on institutions and on repeatable profit profiles. The crowd's enthusiasm can amplify early trading, but it does not change the underlying economics.
So where does that leave a listener who isn't an institutional analyst? Watch three concrete things when the company files. One, how they recognize revenue, gross versus net, and the exact wording around reseller or cloud pass-throughs. Two, unit economics, cost to serve per enterprise customer or per 1,000 tokens, and how those have trended quarter to quarter. And three, customer concentration and contract length. How much recurring revenue is truly sticky? Those are the levers that will separate a narrative-driven valuation from one grounded in sustainable cash generation. Finally, remember the timing. If the market is being pitched on a 2028 revenue figure today, investors are implicitly betting on a string of execution wins and cost improvements over the next 2 years. That's possible. Companies have grown faster than expected before, but it's also a lot of moving parts to go right at once. Treat the headlines as the start of a deeper accounting and product diligence process, not as proof that the next multi-trillion dollar company has already arrived. If public markets end up pricing forward fantasies instead of unit economics, the first quarterly report after the IPO will be the real truth test. I'm Alex Morgan. Debug the hype.